Good morning, my beloved brothers, and God bless each of you as we come together at the end of our prayer cycle for this week. And we thank God for each of you as we remember each day that that day is the day that the Lord has made, and today is the day that the Lord has made. We come together and we praise God for another opportunity to fellowship and to present our petitions and pleas to the Lord. We humble ourselves each day as brothers of the Omega Psi Phi fraternity and intercede on behalf of all of our brothers. And we praise God again for each of you. As each of you has heard, as you've signed on, that our call and procedure will change necessarily on the 15th. And I've secured a Zoom connection for us as we make the transition. I will announce at a later time how that transition will proceed. Until then, be confident that the number that we're using now is the appropriate one. God bless each of you, and we're so delighted to have all of you on the phone. We're especially delighted to have members of our district. Every district is represented on this phone call, and we thank God for that. We're especially delighted to have members of our Supreme Council to join us each day on the phone, current and past members. And members of our grant with us. Many of our grant officers join us each day on the phone. We're delighted to have two of our grand basalai, former grand basalai, to join us on the phone. Brother Dorsey Miller, GB35, is on the phone with us each day, and we praise God for him. And we also praise God for Brother Dr. Tony Knox, who joins us each day on the phone. We're also especially delighted to have our visionary on the phone, Grand Officer, Brother Grand Staccato Powell, is on the phone today, and we recognize him and thank God for the vision given to him by the Lord to begin this effort. March of 2015 is when this all started, and it has continued in earnest, and we are so thankful for him being assisted by good Brother Ray Johnson from the 6th District as they put together this platform for us to use, to pray together, to look at God's word from Genesis to Revelation each year. And we are so thankful. So, brothers, it is at this time that I ask that you would rise in spirit and receive GB40 as he comes to us in his own way to delight us with his comments. And so, brothers, please rise. Brother Dr. Antonio F. Knox. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Doctor. And good morning, brothers. Brothers, if you just look back from 2015 and look forward and look at how God has blessed our fraternity and all the things that have happened, can't thank Bishop Powell and Brother Johnson and all the brothers enough for what they've done and for Brother Walter T. for continuing to take us to another level. Brothers, we've been blessed. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Brothers, let all you do be done in love this weekend, and think of the many blessings that we've been received. Brothers, I thank you each and every day for what you do, and please know that I love you all.
God bless you, Dr. Knox, and we love you as well. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend Doctor.
My brothers, what a joy it is every other Friday to be fed the word of God and to be led in prayer by the 7th District Chaplain covering the states of Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama. And also on this Freedom Friday, allow me to introduce enthusiastically Brother Reverend Roy Johnson. God bless you, my good brother. You have the phone, sir.
Amen, Dr.
I thank you.
Amen.
I thank you, Brother Grand, Brother Grand, Brother Grand, and Brother Grand. My brothers, I was struck in my reading at how poignant this lesson is today when considering our country or our culture, our private companies or our church communities, and regretfully, even our fraternity in some measure. The maestro left off yesterday with a prophecy of Amos giving warnings as to what can happen if the members of God's community don't straighten up and fly right. We pick up the lesson today in chapter 6 and 7, where the prophet issues woes and warnings. Brother Relaford, I like the way this overview begins. It tells us that Israel has grown fat, apathetic, and proud, choking on its own luxury. But God's verdict is fitting. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end, says God. The prophet relates a series of visions in which God stays his hand of punishment repeatedly, but no more. The plumb line of his righteousness shows how far out of line the people have drifted, prompting Amos to report God's new resolve. I will spare them no longer, says the Lord. No more will I let them slide. No more will I let them just get by. No more will I let them just talk a good game. No more will I let them fly the flag of Jesus in name only, but ignore the teachings of Jesus in everyday application. No more will I let them sing to all thy precepts, make us true, live nobly as all real men do. And their daily walk is diametrically opposite of that sacred hymn. You know, Brother Boone Sr. was but a boy when the great brown bomber Joe Louis stepped to the microphone and admonished that white knight, Billy Conn, you can run, but you can't hide. That is to say, my brothers, that even the most cunning of Omega men who seek to circumvent all that they learn seeking Omega, yet seek to make Omega something other than what the founders envisioned. As 80 men show up for the party, but only 8 men show up to tutor, to mentor, to build, to boost, to encourage, to help, to hold, to march, or to make better. 80 will show up to take a bow after a mere 8 have done all the work. 8 men are about the business of building better families, while 80 are out there knowing better but not doing better. Like words comes to us from the supreme bossless of the universe, that with the thirst for foolishness shown by some of us, we might get by, but we won't get away. You know, look at chapter 6, for it deals with the violations of God's law. Woe unto the complacent, and woe unto the proud. Brother Tollison, the daily walk in this lesson speaks volumes. It says a man works double shifts and weekends so that his overtime income will cover the payments on his new camper and his new boat. But when vacation time comes, he's too exhausted to go to the lake. A wealthy executive relates how, as a young man, he recklessly neglected his health to make millions. And now, later in life, he finds himself spending the millions he earned to regain the health that he lost. These stories illustrate the subtle effects of materialism. This sickness begins with our desire to own things, but all too often those things turn around and begin to own us. My brothers, the material things we have a desire to own just won't last long. A casket with you on the inside will crave for flowers and bouquets to be tossed on it. Nobody will care then about the cut of your clothes, the make and model of your car, nor the sum total of cash you have on deposit. Brothers, it was the late, great Sam Proctor who I heard one time say, not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted. If we confuse material illusions with spiritual purpose, then we'll be lost in the fire of desire, which increases through the emotions of greed and selfishness. I'm reminded of a line that we often sang in the church of my baptism. You better build your hopes on things eternal. You better hold to God's unchanging hand. The lesson teaches us that luxury-loving Israel was so owned by its possessions and materialistic lifestyle that God had become the previous owner. Enjoying things from God has replaced enjoying God himself. Now, you may proudly think of your house, your car, your boat, or your whatever as being owned by you. But never forget, it is also actually loaned by God. My brothers, wouldn't now be a good time to consider a real transfer of ownership? Record this thought on your heart. Close your eyes and you will see everything that you actually possess. Nothing teaches us about the preciousness of our relationship with our Creator as much as when we learn the emptiness of everything else. My brothers, planet Earth has circled the sun 50 times since I was invited in to the sacred precincts of Omega. And as I reflect on it, I know that the Lord has blessed me. Oh, I've seen better days. But I've also seen worse. I do not have all my wants, but I certainly do have all my needs. I woke up this morning with a few aches and pains, Brother Gumby, but I woke up. My journey has been far from perfect, but I must admit that it has been quite good. The lesson gives us this insight. It says, for the gluttonous people of God, an ordinary cup was not large enough. That's the sixth verse of the sixth chapter. So they used enormous vessels like those customarily reserved for sacrificial purposes. I hear the songwriter this morning as he sings out, you may seek earthly power and desire worldly fame. The world might be impressed by and hail your great name, yet soon the glories of this life will all be past, but only, I said only, brothers, what you do for Christ will last. I hear the psalmist singing crisply as the morning dove, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I hear old Peter, the rock upon which Jesus himself said that he will build his church, telling you and me, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares about you. Come with me to the throne of grace, my brothers, as we seek forgiveness for our coming short of the glory of God, yet once again petitioning the Lord to let his word be a lamp unto our feet and its essence a light unto our path. To the all-wise, all-knowing, and everywhere God, he who rules and superrules the whole of the created order, the Omega Nation is in touch and in tune with what you require of us, as the sage wisdom of the prophet guides us in our understanding, telling us a carnal ease, a fleshly security. We have sought the ease of a hardened wretch who has become drunk with the wine of the world, and we live recklessly at full speed. Our homes are tottering from their sandy foundations, and we have not the calm of soul which is at peace with you, but the ease of the fool, who because he has hidden his sins from his own eyes, thinks he has concealed it from God. Oh, Lord, we have grown callous and cynical and brutal and dull and sullen and careless, high-handed and high and mighty, for the reprieve which you have time and again granted us may soon be broken. We will find ourselves making our beds in hell. Our guilt drips with presumption and procrastination. And as we arise each morning as though we've got time, not realizing that time is filled with swift transition. But this morning, some perpetrating brothers hear you, Lord. He hears your voice softly and tenderly calling, calling him to come home. We hear you, Lord, as you widely open your arms and divinely appeal to us to come back to you. We hearken divine appeal to us, be who we say we are and do what we say we will do. So today, Lord, teach us to realize that it's time for all of us to man up and truly be the sons of the living God, committed, dedicated, and earnestly marching toward the mark of the high calling. Teach us, Lord, that our contentment and our peace can only be found in those things that can neither be purchased nor possessed. Teach us that money and materialistic possession mean nothing without joy, peace, love, and service, selflessly lifting the human family and not bowing before lifeless things. Teach us, Lord, to reorient our values to the place where we refrain from buying things that we don't need, spending money that we really don't have, trying to impress people that we don't know and don't really care about us. Lord, as you stand on the wall with the plumb line in your hand, measure men of Omega so that according to your will, our backs are straight and our minds are straight and our actions are straight and our destiny is a straight and narrow path leading toward you. Hear our concern, Lord, and the names of those for whom we pray. For Brother Marcus Sagnia is praying for Brother William Murphy, a charter member of the Romu New chapter in Canton, Mississippi, for he's in an ICU recovery room up in Ann Arbor after major life-saving surgery. We're praying with Brother Sagnia for Brother Murphy, his wife, his children, as they soldier on. Our good brother Theo Washington brings a heavy heart that the sister of our brother Michael and our brother Jerry Fordham, Marsha Kantz, has transitioned and gone home to glory. Be with the Fordham family. Our brother Dorsey Miller III asks prayer for brother Clifton Samuel Biles, who is struggling with health issues again and again. And oh, that stalwart warrior, OG3DC, requesting prayers for Brother Reverend Harold Kaysen and his family. His First Lady Claudia Kaysen passed away a week ago. He's asking prayer for the brothers of the Zeta Iota chapter in the 3rd District and their guests as they celebrate 40 years as a chapter. Hear the prayer of our brother Lawrence Houston as he asks for healing as he deals with sciatic nerve pain. And our ever-praying brother Kenny Faulkner is asking you again for prayers for brother Christopher Foster, who reports that his 19-year-old daughter, Kiara Foster, is doing well because we've been praying for her she's been taken out of the COVID-19 protocol. She can return to normal duty. But Brother Scott asked prayer for the family and loved ones of Brother Michael Hamlin, who stepped into Omega Chapter early on yesterday after a long and tumultuous battle with pancreatic cancer. He's also asking for the continued prayer for Sister Emma Jean Simpson, mother of Brother Christopher Simpson, as she deals with health-related issues. He asked for continued prayer of healing and recovery for both Andre Lee and Benjamin Bohannon as they continue physical therapy from their surgeries. He asked for prayer and protection for the fellowship of the Tall Kappa Chapter 23rd Chapter Picnic that will happen on tomorrow. He's asking a special prayer of remembrance for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. All of us can remember where we are and what we were doing when we heard that sadful news. And Brother Scott is asking for prayers of grace, mercy, and favor for a long and upcoming C&P exam with the Department of Veterans Affairs. Lord, there are other prayers out there on the hearts of brothers who are under the sound of my voice. We ask that you will hear them one by one and that you will act them, because we are prepared, Lord, to recommit ourselves, to rededicate ourselves to being the kind of tried and true son of blood and thunder that when on our knees, we committed that we would be, giving our oath of loyalty to our fraternity and to you, our deity. Go with and guide us, Lord, as we step into today, for this is our prayer, that we're lifting up unto you on the wings of the morning, as together we say amen.